Today, we jump back again to the Old Testament, this time to the book of Joshua. He is a leader of the people of Israel after Moses. Moses had led a wandering people in the wilderness for many years, and now as Joshua faces the Jordan River, we will see how God works to establish his covenant people. Let us pray for illumination for the scriptures before we read Joshua 3. Lord of all power and glory, we ask that you come into our hearts today, that you will teach us your ways from your book, that we may be prepared for your service. Lead us, guide us, we pray. Amen. Today we read Joshua 3, the whole chapter. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officials went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you, as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. So far, the reading of the Lord's Word. On November 3, America voted. I am sure that most of you have followed along as the United States voted for a president, for senators, and for House representatives. Many of the candidates that they stayed the same, the incumbent won. But a lot changed leadership as well. And in the different spots that changed leadership, there are a number of questions to ask. Will they lead well? Where will they bring us? Are we going somewhere good or bad? Because it matters who is leading, especially with many hot-button issues on the table, choices to make, and tasks to be worked on. And this is how we can see the change of leadership in the beginning of the book of Joshua with the people of Israel. Moses, the previous leader, was highly revered and trusted by the people. He had passed away, and Joshua was appointed the next leader of God's people. And God's people are asking all kinds of questions. How do we know who God's next leader truly will be? And if it is Joshua, where will Joshua bring us? Will he be a good leader? Will God be with him like God was with Moses? All very good questions to ask, for it matters who is leading, and Joshua is an untested leader, an untested new leader with a list of impossible tasks before him. Today, as we read our account, there were three challenges that are ahead of the people of Israel. The first and second have to do with the Jordan River, and the third is a more distant task with the land of Canaan. Will Israel follow Joshua faced with these three impossible tasks? The first is the river itself. The Jordan at that time of year was in flood stage. The rains had fallen on the land, and in the north, water comes down from Mount Hermon through the Sea of Galilee down the Jordan towards the Dead Sea. This deluge was a force to be reckoned with. One commentator that I read said that the river during the regular season was probably about 100 feet across. But this was flood stage, and the river would have been much wider and a lot deeper, rushing, strong, scary water. How are the people to cross? This is not just a wall, it is an impossible barrier. How will Israel go ahead with this before them? The second impossible task was given to the priests. Rather than stop at the water's edge, they are asked to stand in the Jordan River. How could they possibly do that? Given the strength of the current at flood stage, will they have to lift the ark above their heads to keep it dry? Will they have the strength to prevent the water from sweeping the ark from their hands, or maybe even themselves downstream? Maybe they'll find some good footing, but this seems like a pretty big ask, an impossible task. The third impossible task is one that has been promised to the Israelites for a long time, that they would have a land. But how would they be able to conquer the Canaanites, Hivites, Hittites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites? will they be able to conquer the enemy that looms before them? The people of Israel are faced with these things and wonder if God is going to be with their new leader, Joshua. Who's leading Israel? Who's leading us? For we ask the same questions about the leaders around us every day. Where are we being brought? Can they handle taking us through these future tasks that look so hard? And we wonder if God is going to be with the leaders. Are they going to be good for the world? These are universal questions, true for leaders in families, in organizations, in churches, in governments. From the top to the bottom, we wonder who is leading. For in a world of leaders and followers, all of us lead in some big or small ways, but all of us also do a lot of following. So who do we follow as Christians? Can we discern a leader to follow? That is the question that each of us face in our individual Christian lives, and that we all face in our corporate lives as the body of Christ. How do we know which leader is the God-appointed one? It's a hard thing to discern or answer. People take different options. One option that many may take. And this happens inside and outside of the church, is that we follow ourselves. We try to lead ourselves on our own strength. And as we face challenges in life, we ask the same questions as the priests who were going down into the middle of the Jordan. Am I strong enough to hold the ark? Strong enough to face what is in front of me? Or am I going to be swept away by the currents of the world? And if you jump into the rushing water, are you going to fall? Fall into sin, depression, out of hope, drifting down the river. Another option is to hold on to another leader for dear life. Part of this is confidence, part of it is vanity. We all want a good leader, a her or him to look to, look up to strive to be like. Who are you following? Who are you hoping will bring you past that hard obstacle? Do you trust in yourself or someone else? And we can go one step farther in our questions. We wonder if the leaders of the church, if the leaders of the government, will God be with them? Especially so when there is new leadership. As the people of the world look to the American election and see new leaders representing the House, the Senate, and the presidency, how will the troubles of poverty, homelessness, the economy, job prospects, violence, drug addiction, the response to the coronavirus, and so many other things be handled? I wonder how Joshua is handling the impossible tasks before him. Because Joshua is definitely a new leader. How will he handle those challenges, this overflowing, scary river, this call from God to have priests stand in the middle of said river and a strong people in a land that he is supposed to conquer. All of this on top of a people that are supposed to trust him. The way that they trusted Moses, they are asking, is God with Joshua too? So what happens? We read that Joshua gives instructions to the people. He tells them to consecrate themselves, for tomorrow God will do great things. So the people consecrate themselves, for something holy seems to be about to happen, but the people look on as this river flows ahead of them. And we see that by faith, the priests carried the visible sign of God's presence in front of the people and towards the river and stepped off the river bank. And by God's grace and power, the water did exactly what God said it would do. The water was held up, and the priests walked into the middle of the river. I'm sure it took a lot of courage to step into that river. Could you imagine? And the river would stay heaped up for a whole day as the entire nation of Israel passed through the riverbed on dry ground. This is a sign, a miracle, a work of God that would remind the Israelites of their forefathers who had walked on dry ground through the Red Sea. This all led by the ark. For the ark was the visible symbol of the presence of God. The people needed a new miracle, a modern day equivalent to the Red Sea crossing. So who is really leading the people? We see that the people followed the ark, the symbol of God. It is God who is leading. These people see a miracle and a sign that God will be with them. And God will continue to be with them and lead them, not only now, but for the generations to come. For we read in chapter 4 of Joshua that once the Israelites crossed the river, the Lord instructed 12 members of the tribes of Israel to set up 12 stones in a pile, these 12 stones coming from the middle of the Jordan River. These stones are a reminder of the work of God, a place where Israel can tell their children the story of how they crossed the river Jordan on dry ground, that they faced an impossible task crossing the Jordan at flood stage and standing with the ark in the center of the river. And it was God who delivered them. The people of Israel are convinced that God is truly leading them, and that God is with Joshua, their newly appointed leader. So who's really leading? God is. And we see his work in Joshua. And who is leading the world today? Who is leading the church today? Who is leading? God is leading. This is our hope for today, because as we look and wonder about the leadership of the world, we can know that God is and always has been our leader. He's at work and has been at work in human leadership from the beginning of time. He is our hope, guiding our lives. He knows us deeply and personally. We read in Psalm 48, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. We hold to the hope of Jesus in our lives. We can trust that no matter who is leading the country, that God is in control, for he is and always will be. Though today, we still ask questions of our worldly leaders and hold them to account. We question not because we do not have any hope that they will be good leaders, but because we do have hope that they will be used by God in ways, many ways, that we may not understand. For we can be sure in our faith that God is working. We are assured of this because God has done the greatest work of all, leading throughout the ages to pave a way for his Son to come. We read that as the whole Old Testament. Because his Son came to conquer the hardest task ever faced. This is the task of redemption. Redemption for a world of sin. Only in Jesus is that task complete. Only on the cross is that possible. The path to glory opened for all who would believe. And can we have confidence in Jesus that we should follow him? Yes. For we read and hear and know of the miracles of Jesus. This is assurance for us still today that Jesus, that God with the work of the Holy Spirit in us, is who we are to follow. This Jesus who gave himself for us on the cross, who humbled himself to save us from sin and to give us hope out of incredible love, is he worth following? Yes. Who is leading? God is. So as we follow, we look to God's word, Jesus' example, and the discernment of the Holy Spirit. And we too have reminders about the work of Jesus. For God agrees that we absolutely must teach our children, and not just with words, but with visible reminders, just like the 12 stones. God commanded they be piled up on the far bank as a memorial. And as the story goes on, they say that in the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them how the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the Lord. We need to keep telling the story of God's miracles, his miraculous intervention in the history of his people. That's the gospel. We need to keep telling the gospel. Joshua's memorial was made of stone. We have one of bread and wine, and one of water. The Lord's Supper and baptism. They point us back to the miraculous work of Jesus and remind us of who is leading our lives, who is leading the world, and who our hope should be in. It isn't accidental that Matthew's gospel begins and ends with the assurance that Jesus is leading today. And right beside us today. Matthew 1:23 says, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. And then Matthew 28:20 concludes, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So we follow. But where is God leading us? The answer is that He is leading us to our fullest life if we trust in Jesus. The answer is that He is leading us to a place of healing and hope here on earth and in the life to come. Follow God, our leader. Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Let's pray. God of all glory, we thank You today for leading us. Thank You for tackling the biggest impossible task of redemption and the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus, so that we can have a close walk with You. Help us to discern the leaders in our lives that we should follow, that You may be honored and glorified. In Your strength, we ask that we hold to Your hope, even as we pray that You work in the human leaders of this world. Amen.